Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days when everybody could count on a good job, the internet was just a passing trend, and the Backstreet Boys roamed free like wild horses. This is Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, Generation Y gets a little nostalgic. And later, pianist Robert Glasper doesn't mess around with the good old days. He's talking about testing the boundaries of jazz with hip-hop and country on a new album, and he'll play live in our studio. But first, they were teens and tweens in the late 90s and early part of this decade. They grew up with mustachioed boy bands, top 40 punk, and Harry Potter novels. It was a time when unemployment was low, the country was full of dot-com jobs, and the scariest thing on the planet was Y2K. 10 years later, the members of Generation Y are young adults in their 20s, and the world's a very different place, and some of them are getting a little misty about the year 2000, even if the rest of us know that was just 9 years ago. We'll talk with a 23-year-old musician in a moment, but first, journalist and author David Brown wrote about Generation Y for the New York Times, and he joins us in our studio. Welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks, John. Great to be here.
Why is this Generation Y, getting so nostalgic so early?
Well, that's the really big question, because usually these nostalgia cycles seem to take about 20 years.
Right.
You know, in the 90s, we had 70s nostalgia and so forth. And this is definitely an accelerated trend. And from talking to a lot of kids, young adults, I should say, about this.
Well, now, wait a minute. You in your article, you define it as anyone between 6 and,
yeah,
and 28. So,
right.
I mean, there are a lot of kids.
There are a lot. It's there are twice as many, at least, as Gen X. So Gen Y is a big generation. It's basically everybody born from, like, the early 80s to the early O's, mm-hmm, as it were. And I think the big defining factor in this is 9/11. In talking to a lot of kids who, you know, again, young adults now, mm-hmm, who kind of just say, wow, you know, I'm sort of nostalgic, you know, life before nine, you know, when I think back to, like, the late 90s and before that, you know, our lives just changed on that day. We had to grow up really fast on September 12th, 2001. And so everything before that seems a little, you know, like misty-eyed, as you're saying.
But aren't we all nostalgic for September 10th, 2001?
I think we are. But I think that generation in particular, you know, when you're whatever, 12, 13, 14, and all of a sudden, like, you're told the world has changed. Everything is different now. And then you look back on the pop culture from that period, you know, whether it's the boy bands or the power punk bands like Blink 182, that music was infused with that pre-9/11 kind of spirit. It was pretty upbeat, pretty positive. It was sort of party music. It wasn't dark music at all. And so that's all tied in with it as well.
Now, how did you know this was happening? I mean, what expressions of nostalgia had you heard rumbling through Generation
Y? Well,
Y?
You know, the article started when I heard about the Blink 182 reunion tour, and which was getting a lot of buzz, and there were really good indicators that it would do really well. I thought, well, that's interesting. And then we heard about the Creed reunion tour, and then the Limp Bizkit reunion tour, and those things. That was the genesis of the article. I thought, this is really odd. Then the more I looked into it, you saw that the top grossing tour of the year so far, it's not Bruce Springsteen, it's not U2, it's Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of music, you're seeing Harry Potter nostalgia. There was a new Potter movie, of course, this summer, but those books date to the late 90s. Kids around college campuses are actually playing Quidditch, you know, sticking brooms between their legs and running around on college campuses.
So they're like running around with a soccer ball, but they're playing with a broom between,
right,
their legs.
Exactly. Sounds a little awkward, but
it sounds like the dorkiest thing I've ever heard of. And I mean,
that's
with all due
the way
respect,
it was in the late 90s.
Okay. You mentioned Harry Potter.
Right.
And, you know, that has sort of affected the music as well. I mean, this band is called Harry and the Potters, and they have sort of made a cottage industry off of the Harry Potter novels.
Do you want to rock like a wizard?
wheels are rocking tonight.
Can you feel it?
All the wizards and muggles are rocking tonight.
Okay, then. Harry and the Potters, the new wizard anthem. That is the club mix, I'm told.
The club mix. And that and that's just one of, like, a whole slew of indie bands that are playing this kind of music. And they're called Wizard Rock.
Right, right. And here's the thing, David. You know, this, to me, is one of the things about the whole Gen Y nostalgia that I can actually kind of wrap my head around. Because most of these kids, when they were still kids... You know, they lined up at bookstores at midnight. You know, they stayed up late when each edition of the books came out.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're adults. They're off, you know, heading off into a job market that's in a lot of turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
And this series of books and then movies is now coming to an end. So there's like they're getting
right.
a double dose of kind of end of an era.
Right, right. And each one of those books and movies gets a little darker at the same time, which also fits right in as well. They're, you know, to the kind of the mood that these people are kind of feeling.
So they've literally grown up with these books and
absolutely,
movies.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right. So that perhaps explains a little bit of it. We're speaking with David Brown, the music journalist who wrote about nostalgia among the 20-somethings of Gen Y for the New York Times.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
True, it's the Gen Yers who are now entering a job market in turmoil, but I think a lot of us share in their nostalgia for a time when a job meant picking the right website before it was sold for millions, and the war we were fighting was against a mythological Y2K bug.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
And while you're there, let us know what you think. Is it too early for 20-year-olds to be nostalgic for the year 2000, or do they have a point? What do you miss about the late 90s and the early aughts? You can leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org, or you can call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And joining us on the line is Ali Kohler. She's the drummer in the Brooklyn-based, much buzzed about indie group called Vivian Girls. Ali, you're 23, so you fall squarely into this Gen Y category. What do you make of all this?
I don't know. I about the nostalgia,
yeah.
About it being too soon.
Well, do you think it's, I mean, are you, first of all, are you seeing it? Are you seeing like a lot of these sort of, a lot of evidence of nostalgia for the late 90s among your peers?
Yeah, I never really thought about it, but once I read the article, I agree. I think that there is a lot of nostalgia for stuff that happened in the late 90s going on with people in my age group.
Okay,
but,
so then here's my real question to you then, Ali, because if you're 23 now, you would have been like 13 at the time that we're talking about. Who is ever nostalgic for the time when they're 13? I mean, 17, 16, yeah, you know, 20, sure. 13? Really?
Well, I personally never want to go back to being 13. That's like the worst years of your life.
Some things transcend all generations.
Yeah.
So why does your generation get so nostalgic so soon in life?
I think it has something to do, well, it has a lot to do, I think, with technology and the internet. I mean, everything moves so fast nowadays that in such a short amount of time, so many things could have changed. So it doesn't feel too soon to look back to something that happened, you know, 10 years ago.
And what about the idea that, you know, after September 11th, everything changed and it is a different world?
I definitely agree with that because I think that, I mean, in my age group, when I was 12 when Columbine happened, and then I was about 14 or 15 for September 11th. And I think events like that just caused kids part of my generation to have to grow up really fast. So since we had to grow up so fast, we're reminiscing on our youth sooner, I guess, than prior generations.
A time when the world had more room for innocence, perhaps.
Yeah.
Ali Kohler's on the line with us from Pittsburgh, where the band, the Vivian Girls, has stopped off on their summer tour. They have a new album coming out next week called Everything Goes Wrong. And here's a clip. Band is Vivian Girls. Their second full-length record, Everything Goes Wrong, comes out next week. And the song is When I'm Gone, a little Gen Y angst perhaps reflected in the album title. We're speaking with Allie Kohler, the drummer from Vivian Girls, on the line. David Brown's with me in the studio, wrote the article on Generation Y nostalgia for the New York Times. And in the control room, producer Joel Meyer, as he often does, is moderating the comments. How many generations are commenting at the moment, Joel?
Well, I think that David from Staten Island might be of an older generation. He kind of agrees with what Allie was saying about the technology angle. He says, John, it's probably Facebook also. People go back to their high school friends in those times more quickly now. But he adds, it's pathetic. Kitsch dominates this generation. Caitlin from Jersey City is a member of Generation Y. She writes, I'll admit it, my friends and I were perhaps a bit too excited to download most of Tragic Kingdom on Rock Band. She's talking about the No Doubt album. And Trisha has something to say to David Brown mentioning Creed and bands like Blink-182. Trisha writes, quite possibly, these that David is referencing are the worst bands in modern music. It's like the 70s of the 90s.
I like that, the 70s of
nice.
The 90s, yeah. Allie, are you nostalgic for those bands? What are you in particular nostalgic about?
I'm certainly not nostalgic for Creed, that's for sure. But I love Blink-182 and No Doubt and stuff. I mean, that was, all of that music was stuff that I found when I was like 10 years old, which is when I first fell in love with alternative music. So having bands like that in the mainstream was really good because it introduced you to a sort of counterculture. With those bands, you could further dig into other less mainstream bands. Like, for example, Travis Barker from Blink-182 has a Dag Nasty tattoo, so, and like a Descendants tattoo. So through these bands, you could find out about other stuff, which was good.
So that was your entrance to the world of punk, of underground.
Yeah, definitely.
Music.
Like Nirvana, bands like Nirvana and the whole ska craze when I was like 11. Mm-hmm. Mighty Mighty Bosstones and Real Big Fish. That was, and Green Day. That was like all my first introduction to an alternative world of music that I would have not known about.
And, you know, what Ali was saying earlier about technology is interesting. When I was interviewing people for this article, the things they were nostalgic about were things I don't think most of us are nostalgic. VHS tapes, CDs, AOL buddy lists, all these things that were, you know, cutting edge technology sort of, you know, 10 years ago, and now we're considered all passe. And it's like, wait a minute, those are over? Yeah, I guess they are. But, you know, those are the early days of our fast-moving technological world.
All right, let's go to the phones. Cheryl is joining us from City Island. Cheryl, first of all, you don't have to tell me your age, but what generation are you part of?
Let's put it this way. I have a Gen X daughter.
Okay, we'll say baby boomer then.
baby boomer, definitely.
Okay.
But I think it has a lot to do with technology because I was in the dot-com phase. And, I mean, it was the best run of my life. And you look at bands like No Doubt, music, I mean, I can think of some really horrible things that were popular at that time, too, like Ricky Martin.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't.
We were all living La Vida Loca back then, I think.
And I can remember, you know, being in a dot-com company and everybody, you know, was all on one floor, even though we were, and I am away from the building next door where the rest of our office was because we ran out of room because we, you know, got big so fast. And we would IM each other, and I still have that buddy list. But that's really, you know, gone.
Are you, you know? Cheryl, you're almost sounding nostalgic for those days.
I am. It is. And so that's why I think it isn't just you know, the Gen Y generation. I think it's also, you know, everyone.
David, has this been a common response to your article, baby boomers, Gen Xers coming up to you and saying, hey, it's not just the kids, you know, we're nostalgic for those days too?
Yeah, I get some of that. And the other half was, people are nostalgic for Limp Bizkit? So it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit of both.
At Third Eye Blind, number three on Billboard's top 200 albums chart this week. I mean, when's the last time Third Eye Blind put out a record? I mean,
it's been a number of years. Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere. And they just announced this morning a Foo Fighters greatest hits. So there's another one.
So it's targeting the demographic.
Absolutely.
Well, if you are nostalgic for the late 90s, you'll be looking forward to this. Third Eye Blind, new record called Ursa Major, and in fact, many people have looked forward to it. It's now number three on Billboard's Top 200 Albums chart this week. So we're seeing all of these bands from the late 90s, the early years of this decade, reforming, they're touring, clearly looking at a huge population now in their 20s, they're in their prime concert-going age, and so people are targeting that, the people who put concerts on. And again, checking in the control room with Joel Meyer, our soundcheck producer who's moderating the comments. Anything to report, Joel?
Well, Jay from Belmore, Long Island, he weighs in. He's probably a baby boomer, maybe a little bit old, but he responds to what we were talking about earlier, that no one wants to relive their 13th year, their early teen years again. He writes, "You got to be kidding. I was 13 in 1968. I would go back and live that time all over in a flash." And Christina from Brooklyn writes, "I'm mostly nostalgic for the days when we didn't worry about work. It seemed to me back in 97, 99, anyone with a BA could drop a resume and be on the payroll within a few days. Now us Clinton-era overeducated hipsters have to think twice about requesting that three-week unpaid vacation to roll out on the Lollapalooza tour with the crew." And I just want to say, nice way to use the lingo, Christina.
All right. Ali, the three of you in the band have this gig that's taken you around the country, a lot of buzz. But, I mean, if you were in the day job market, is it scary out there?
I joined the band a little over a year ago, and when I had just graduated college, and I was looking for jobs, and there was nothing, absolutely nothing. And fortunately, my two best friends, who happened to be in this band that was gaining notoriety, asked me to be in their band, so I kind of got to duck out of that.
But still, the album is called Everything Goes Wrong, so
yeah.
there is certainly a message there in the new record by Vivian Girls, which comes out next week, and we've been speaking with Ali Kohler, the drummer from Vivian Girls, calling in from their summer tour, currently in Pittsburgh. And we've been speaking with David Brown, who wrote the article about the Gen Y nostalgia wave for the New York Times. It's a very bizarre concept, but it's sort of an undeniable one when you look at all the signs that are out there, David.
That's what we tried to prove.
David, Ali, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Talking about signs, here's another one. Weezer has a new album coming out called Ratitude, set for release shortly. This is the single called I Want You To. And up next, three other new albums for you to check out in our CD Picks of the Week. And after that, Robert Glasper. He leads a double life as a jazz pianist and the leader of a hip-hop group. He'll tell us what unites the two, and he'll play live in our studio on Soundcheck.